Every believer has a voice, and it's the voice of victory.
My God has made a way for me.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. You know who he is. This is Professor Greg Stevens, and he is a teacher in Kenneth Copeland Bible College, and he spent many years studying the First Covenant. And that First Covenant began in the 15th chapter of Genesis with the blood of animals. So the principle was, sin, to disobey God was a deadly thing.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah. But now he's, no, don't kill the man, kill an animal. Sacrifice an animal. That set up Jesus being the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world.
That's right.
That set that up right there in the 15th chapter of Genesis.
That's right.
Then in the 17th chapter of Genesis, God appeared to Abram and entered covenant with him. And there you have the first recorded name change. Because of a covenant.
Yes.
And people get married today and don't have any idea why they changed the woman's name. Well, it happened there on that day. He went from being Abram or Abram to Abraham. That H, which I learned from you, I knew it was the name of Abraham, but I didn't know which one.
Yeah.
But it was
Hashem.
The name. Mm-hmm. And from then on, and God said, I have made you the father of many nations. I've done it. I have made you the father of many nations. Now go be that. He had the authority to do that. He had the authority to change his name. He had the authority to make him the father of many nations. Now,
do the same thing with his grandson, Jacob.
Yes, he did. Change his name to Israel.
Will be Israel, yeah. Because he wrestled with God.
Now, that authority, he had the authority to make him whatever he wanted to make him.
That's right.
He desired, he had designed before the foundation of the world, to make him the father of many nations, and his only qualification was that he would teach his children.
Yeah. I am that I am literally means, in the truest sense in the Hebrew, ayer asher ayer, it means I will be. Now, it's a state of being. I will be whatever I need to be. If I need to be healing, I'll be healing. If I need to be prosperity, I'll be prosperity.
Yes.
I will be. And so now that delegated authority is the power that we walk in. It's not our own power and authority. It's His.
Yes, it is.
And it's learning, the key to it is learning how to cooperate with
Him. And that authority for us is His name.
Absolutely. And I've been washed in the blood, which gave me the right to use His name. You can see that in the book of Acts there with the seven sons of Sceva. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you?
Who are you?
They're trying to use the authority. They're trying to be the authority of the believer without being a believer.
That's right.
And they're going to get beat up over it.
To explain that, the Lord gave me this, and it really says it in few words. Napoleon always rode. You know, Napoleon was small in stature, but he was the emperor, and he always rode a great big stallion horse. He was reviewing the troops one day, and that big horse bolted. And this young man just jumped out of the ranks and caught that horse by the reins and settled him down. And Napoleon said, "Thank you, Captain." He said, "Sir, I'm but a private." "No, sir, you are a captain, and you will ride with me. You will ride at my side." He had the authority to jump him in rank from private to captain.
That's what Jesus did. He took us from darkness, from Satan's kingdom, to light.
Ephesians chapter 3.
We became sons, not servants anymore.
That's right.
We are no longer serving sin.
The Apostle Paul, writing to the book at Ephesus in chapter 3, he said, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named."
Yes, sir.
And then if you read all the way down through there, which I am going to do.
Ephesians 3?
Ephesians chapter 3. Then we'll go back to the book of John chapter 16. But here in Ephesians 3, you actually see the greater works that I do shall you do because I go to my Father.
There it is.
Now, here he is in the 15th or the 14th verse. "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might." Now, that's dunamis.
Yep.
"By his
Spirit.
By his
Spirit.
In the inner man, that Christ, the anointed one in his anointing, may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend." Now, that word comprehend there is more than just understanding. It's working knowledge. "That you may have working knowledge with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know." That is gnosko, to intimately know. Amen. "The love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God." Now unto him, listen, him, the Spirit, God, "is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the dunamis that is working in us." Above all that we can ask or think.
The power.
That power is so magnificent. Yes. And it comes down to this. If you can ask it and think it, you can have it.
Amen.
If you can ask it and think it, if he's dwelling in there by faith, then if you ask it and believe it and it happens, you can go higher. And you can just keep going higher. And you can just keep going higher. And you can just keep going higher as long as you have the faith and your glory to God.
Brother Copeland, this takes us back to creation.
It does.
Because if you look at Ephesians 3, "For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." We know that all things were made by him, John tells us.
Yes.
Jesus. But look at this. "Of whom the whole family in heaven
and earth is named."
Who named things in the earth? Adam did.
Yes, he did. That's what I'm trying to say.
I just got the revelation of it. Praise God. We're still speaking spirit.
It takes you all the way back.
My Lord.
And by the power of the Spirit of the living God in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the Apostle Paul reveals what happened on the day of Pentecost when we got our language back.
Yes.
It goes all the way back to the Tower of Babel. Amen.
Amen. Yes. The nations were together there. They all heard them speaking in their own tongue.
Woo! But here we are. We're back. Glory
we're
to
back.
God. We're back to the, you go into the book of Isaiah, and it calls it the Eden Covenant.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely right.
"Consider the rock from whence you were hewn."
Yeah. This is mankind named everything. So even the things that we spoke into existence, and I'll submit this, we're still speaking into existence. Because if that same Spirit dwells in us, we're speaking things into existence.
Yes.
You don't like what your existence is right now, you might need to change what you're speaking.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
And, well, oh, I don't know what to say. Well, then pray in the Spirit.
Yes. Yes. Well, I don't know how to do that. See, it's this thing you ever... See, it's this thing you ever did if you will dare use your faith and yield yourself to the Spirit.
To pray through you.
To pray through and by you. Amen. Yes. Glory to God. Amen. The Apostle Paul, let's look at that in the Classic Amplified. We will go to right there in the 14th chapter, 1 Corinthians, and I'm reading from the Classic Amplified translation. Eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim, your great request, and earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual endowments, gifts, especially that you may prophesy and interpret the divine will and purpose in inspired preaching and teaching. For one who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no one understands or catches his meaning, because the Holy Spirit because in the Holy Spirit he utters secret truths and hidden things not obvious to the understanding. Look at that fourth verse. He who speaks in a strange tongue edifies and improves himself. But he who prophesies, interpreting the divine will and purpose and teaching with inspiration, edifies and improves the church and promotes growth in Christian wisdom, piety, holiness, and happiness. Now, I wish that you might all speak in unknown tongues, but more especially, I want you to prophesy, to be inspired, to preach and interpret the divine will and purpose. He who prophesies, who is inspired to preach and teach, is greater, more useful, more important than he who speaks in an unknown tongue. But unless he should interpret what he says so that the church may be edified and receive good from him. Now, here it is in the 14th verse. If I pray in an unknown tongue, now listen, here it is. My spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me, prays. My spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me, prays. But my mind is unproductive. It bears no fruit and helps nobody. Then what am I to do? I will pray with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that is with me. I will also pray intelligently with my mind and understanding. I will sing with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that's within me. I will sing intelligently with my mind and understanding also.
Yeah. That delegated Spirit of God that now is inside of me, I have released it. I've released Him. I shouldn't say it. I've released Him now to pray when I don't know how to pray. So I don't know how to do that. Well, I pray the Word first, Brother Copeland.
Yes.
And then I pray with my understanding concerning a situation. And then when you get to a place where you don't know what to say and I don't know how to pray about it, this is when I always do this. Now, Holy Spirit, I trust You
yes.
to pray through
yes.
me
yes.
what I don't understand.
Yeah. I do this, just a lot. Father, I look to You
yes.
to rise up within me. Give me utterance. I'm about to walk out on that platform and begin to teach or preach, whichever one You
right.
have for me to do.
Maybe both of them.
and give me utterance. I believe I receive it because You are always in me and You always give me utterance. And there are times I'll hear a word and I'll think, I'll go straight to that. And I go out there and I mention that and it just goes off over there and I'll think, oh, this is good. I'm thinking, I'm thinking as it's coming out, I'm thinking, oh, this is good.
You know, but that's the way the power worked in Jesus, though, Brother Copeland, is most of the miracles and things that happened with Him were interruptions. pigs set out. Today we shall find blind people. I mean, they didn't have a corporate plan for that. He was headed somewhere when something interrupted the schedule.
Well, like Jairus came to him.
Absolutely right.
He fell at his feet when the boat came across the lake mm-hmm. from delivering the madman of Gadara. He's no longer mad anymore. No. He called him to preach and got yes, him some nice clothes and sent him off on his way. He came right straight across the lake, right across the Galilee, and Jairus was waiting on him because his little girl was about to die.
Right.
And he said, come lay your hands on her and she shall live. Mm-hmm. So he didn't say anything. He just headed home with Jairus.
Right. Following. Knew him. He knew Jairus.
Yes, sure he did.
He's the ruler of the synagogue there in Capernaum.
And the synagogue in Capernaum, which Cornelius built, he was the centurion of that whole area.
Right.
So then the woman with the issue of blood touched the hem of his garment.
Interrupted him.
And he just stopped. He said, who touched me? Mm. Now, both of them were moving by faith.
That's right.
Both of them that were. And she said, if I but touch the hem of his garment, which was
the prayer shawl, the tallit,
I shall be made whole. Well, she began to talk to him. That's the reason we know that she'd been afflicted 12 years. She said it. And then she crawled out there and did it. Well, how do we know all of that? How do we know it was 12 years? She said it was. She told him the truth. And many physicians, she knows. Mm-hmm. Now, how long do you suppose that took? Jairus had already spoken his faith, and he didn't say a word. Even when the death messenger came, your little daughter is dead, trouble the master no longer. Jesus answered
for him. Yeah.
Jairus still didn't say a word. Jesus, well, they, particularly in the 8th chapter of the book of Luke, you had a lot of detail there. But I just don't believe Jesus said, now fear not now, only believe. He just whirled and said, stop the fear.
Yeah, absolutely.
Stop the fear.
Absolutely.
No.
Because this interruption, it looks like it's her fault that his daughter died. Yeah. We'd already been there by now. The breakthrough can happen in your interruptions. Don't curse your interruptions.
He said, stop the fear. Yeah. Believe only. She will be.
And what came out of him when she touched him in faith? Power.
Power. Dunamis.
That's it. It's that power. And we were looking at something, John 16.
Yes, yes.
In John 16, here we are, we're in that Last Supper Seder. He says in verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. This is some of my favorite verses.
Yes, me too.
Of sin because they believe not. That's the whole reason right there. Of righteousness because I go to the Father. When he was resurrected, that's when righteousness, we were made righteous. Mm-hmm. And you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you can't bear them now. Now that's a key phrase. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. Now, this is prior to the upper room, see? This is that upper room Seder that's happening that
yes. night. Yes.
He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. He'll glorify me.
Now, wait. We're not done yet.
Okay.
He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Class, are you reading this?
Yes.
All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. Mm. By the Spirit of the living God, we have access to everything God knows. Yes. And everything He knows is in this book.
Yes. Now, He's speaking by faith of what's to come.
Yes.
He hadn't come yet. This is why He tells the disciples, when He's ascended, go to Jerusalem and stay there until you're endued with what?
Power.
It's that same power from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation.
Think about how many times in that meal He talked about prayer.
A lot.
If you dwell in Me and My words dwell in you, ask what you will and it'll be done unto you. Whatever you ask in My name, I will do it. And then He comes down to the 23rd verse here, right in this 16th chapter. This is why it's so expedient for Him to leave.
Yeah, yeah.
I got to get out of here. They didn't understand that He was about to go to hell and suffer for 3 days and 3 nights, which meant, tradition says, it was Friday. No, it was Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday.
John mentions that. Right. It was a high Sabbath.
High Sabbath.
It began Wednesday.
Two Sabbaths that week, the weekly Sabbath and the Passover Sabbath.
But now, He went into hell. He was the first man. The Scripture says He was manifest in the flesh. That's when He was born of Mary. Made alive in the Spirit. In the pit of hell itself. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us. Yes. Right there in the middle of hell itself, the Almighty God spoke. Check it out in the book of Hebrews. Mm-hmm. He spoke. And again I will be a father to him. And again he shall be a son unto me. And he is no longer the only begotten Son of God. He's never called that except in the very beginning in the Gospel of John. He's called the Son of Man all the way through this whole thing. But then He becomes the firstborn from the dead. Glory to God.
So why is that such a big deal that I have to go away? Because here's the deal. What did He give up? What did He really give up? Here's what He gave up. He's no longer omnipresent like the Father. He's limited to a body.
Yes.
Now, it's a glorified body. If Jesus were on the earth today, He would only be in one place.
We're out of time. We'll take that up tomorrow.
Amen.
We'll be back in just a moment.
Kenneth Copeland Bible College is more than just an education. It's a lifestyle of faith that changes you.
People from all different ages, races, and cultures came here for the same reason, to be intensely discipled in the word of faith and equipped for ministry.
They trained me with practical ministry opportunities to serve with excellence and teach others to do the same.
At Kenneth Copeland Bible College, I found faith, family, and my calling.
Take the next step. Apply today.
Are you done with tolerating defeat in your life? Here's the good news. You can live free from all the baggage of the enemy. You can even demolish burdens in the lives of those around you. How? Through the power of God's anointing. In the audio series, The Power of the Anointing, Kenneth Copeland guides you through Scripture to reveal the truth about the anointing and what it can do for you. You will learn exactly what the anointing is, the benefits that the anointing holds, and how to use the power of the anointing. This anointing carries all the power and benefits that Jesus came to deliver. Joy, healing, freedom, eternal life. You can do all things through the anointing. Imagine dominating hurdles in your life and achieving success, and having the same type of impact that Jesus did in lives and circumstances everywhere you go. Freedom and success are all wrapped up in the anointing, which is Christ in you. You can live victoriously in every area of your life. Let God's burden-removing, yoke-destroying power completely set you free. Request your free audio series, The Power of the Anointing, by Kenneth Copeland on kcm.org/victory offer or when you call 877-615-4267. This offer is good for 60 days. Outside the U.S., shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
Hello, I'm Larry Warren. God has a plan for your life, and it includes good things. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." In other words, we are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He's planned for us. God's good plan comes through being created in Christ Jesus. And that starts by making the choice to receive Him as your Lord and Savior. So pray this with me. I lift my voice to the Almighty God, the Creator of every living thing, the Giver of all life. I receive your love as the God and Father of all humanity and the gift of your Son, Jesus, your chosen one. I turn from my wicked ways and ask that you change my life and use me any way you deem fit. Today is a new day, and I believe and I yield to the Lordship of Jesus, both now and forevermore. Amen and amen. Now, that simple prayer just changed your life and your destiny. Jesus has given you every victory He's ever won. You have a new life in Him, and you now have the healing, the peace, the protection, the freedom, the wisdom, and prosperity. Listen, it all belongs to you. To help you learn more about who you are in Christ and who He is in you, KCM has put together resources to send you for free. It's the Salvation Package, and it includes a book by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland called He Did It All For You, along with some information on how to get started reading and studying your Bible. Request your Salvation Package today, free on kcm.org.
Now you can see why He said it is more expedient for you that I leave so that, and I'm bringing in our words here, so that I can send the Spirit of power.
Yes.
I can send Him to you.
And He'll never leave you.
And He will be with you forever. He will never leave you nor forsake you, even to the end of the age.
Amen.
Glory to God. Woo, you better be here tomorrow. We'll see you then. Until then, excuse me, this is Kenneth Copeland and all the rest of us saying, God loves you, and we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Yes, He is.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have a gift for you. It is called the Salvation Package. Learn about the new birth and how you can live your new life victoriously in Christ. Receive your free package on kcm.org/newlife. Keep your heart full of God's Word and continue to grow in faith. Every believer has a voice, and it is the voice of victory.